You and I back together again Tuesday, September 28th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Ray Andrewson stopped in on the program to chat about an upcoming business showcase and career fair in the area. Greenwich GOP State Senator Ryan Fazio joined us to talk about the legislative debates and the votes that followed on Governor Ned Lamont's request for an extension of his COVID-19 powers for another few months. And I also had some thoughts wondering again, hello, is anyone actually paying attention to what's going on in the White House? I get a lot of callers to this show, and we heard one last hour, and we'll get some more tomorrow, and, you know, the day after that, and the day after that, and next week, and next month, and too early next year, likely. I get a lot of people who call and say, hey, Paul, doesn't anybody care about fill in the blank that's going on in Washington? And my answer most of the time is no, they don't. Either they're not paying attention, they, meaning part of the electorate or the Washington press corps, a lot of them are not paying attention because, again, the key to what Mr. Biden and his cohorts are doing in the White House right now, and they're allowed to do what they want to do, I mean, or to at least try because they won the election, is they're not Trump. Now, as John asked me last hour, what do my friends say when I bring this up who happen to be on the other side of the aisle? And they say, well, we don't care. He's not Trump. He's not Trump. And that's dangerous when the guy you hired and voted for to bring back some sort of sense of normalcy here is doing anything but. But there's a remarkable lack of accountability, I think. Because the way I look at these things is, imagine if it was the other side doing it. What would the reaction be from Congress? What would the reaction be from the media complex, you know, in this country to, to what's happening, whether it's immigration, which has been just, it continues to be a huge problem at the southern border since the new administration took over. Crime for the last year and change shows no sign of slowing down. You've got immigration, you've got crime, you've got inflation now running crazy. You've got gas prices. I saw a report today saying, no, gas prices are not going to do their seasonal drop. And now you have Afghanistan. And you have some, what I think is shocking testimony today from military people who say, wait a minute, we didn't rubber stamp this. Despite what Mr. Biden said, despite what the president said, we didn't rubber stamp this. Now, the reaction today in the media is going to be interesting because, you know, when there was a lot of controversy with former President Trump and the military, a lot of the mainstream press, the big networks, the alphabet networks came out immediately and said, see, he's nuts. He won't even listen to his generals. He's going to blow us all up. Well, let's see if the reaction to that matches what we heard today. Now, the military guys, the generals are there, all the top brass are saying, no, we didn't tell the president that we endorse this whole pullout from Afghanistan the way it was done. And folks, what have the guests that I've had on the program here, what have they all said about this? It's not that we're pulling out, it's how it's being done. And now all the news organizations are going back to a sit-down between Mr. Biden and George Stephanopoulos, in which he asked the president, look, the military want you to keep about 2,500 troops there, in which the president is saying, no, there really wasn't a problem. That wasn't true. In fact, I'm looking at a quote right now. Stephanopoulos asks, quote, they didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay, unquote. And the president answers, no, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all the troops. They didn't argue against that. Oh, really? Well, here's what some of the generals said today. This is General Kenneth McKenzie. He's the boss of U.S. Central Command.
But I will give you my honest opinion, and my honest opinion and view shaped my recommendation. I recommended that we maintain 2,500 troops in Afghanistan. And I also recommended earlier in the fall of 2020 that we maintain 4,500 at that time. Those are my personal views. I also have a view that the withdrawal of those forces would lead inevitably to the collapse of the Afghan military forces and eventually the Afghan government.
Yes, so I understand that. And General Milley, I assume you agree with that in terms of the recommendation of 2,500?
What I said in my opening statement and the memoranda that I wrote back in the fall of 2020 remained consistent, and I do agree with that.
This committee is unsure as to whether or not General Miller's recommendation ever got to the president. Obviously, there are conversations with the president, but I would like to ask, even though General McKenzie, I think you've all made this statement, did you talk to the president about General Miller's recommendation?
Sir, I was present when that discussion occurred, and I'm confident that the president heard all the recommendations and listened to them very thoughtfully.
All right, there you go. That was Senator Jim Inhofe, by the way, during the questioning there of General Mark Milley and General McKenzie as well. So listen, make up your minds here. Who's zooming who, as the great Aretha Franklin once said? Honestly, is anybody paying attention? Honestly, is anybody paying attention here? The generals are saying, no, we didn't rubber stamp what the president wanted to do. We said you have to maintain some amount of troops there. One guy said 4,000, one guy said 2,500. And yet, you have the White House saying, nope, that never happened. That never happened. But again, it's not Trump, so it's okay. Man, I got to tell you, it is shocking to me. The more you look at this over the past, 10 months, man, they are blowing a golden opportunity to set themselves up as some sort of stabilizing force here. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. So let's see how the media handles this. Now, I know a little bit about how this stuff works. I have dabbled in television. I do work at a network on the side. Listen, some of this stuff is unavoidable. And the White House will probably come out tonight with some sort of very carefully crafted statement. Well, we took a lot of voices, a lot of conflicting opinions, and we said, this is going to be, the best way to do things. And then somebody will directly ask, well, is somebody lying here? They're going to ask. They're going to ask, well, Jen Psaki, are these generals lying or is the president lying? And then we'll see the inevitable parsing of words. My pleasure and honor to welcome a dear friend of mine to the program. Ray Andrewson joins us, and Ray right now is serving as the executive director of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce, and the Quinnipiac Chamber has a big event that is coming up this week, day after tomorrow, on Thursday, the 30th of this month, to wrap up September. Ray, good afternoon, my friend. How are you today?
Hey, Paul. It's always great to be with you. Good afternoon to you.
Well, thanks, Ray. In the Quinnipiac Chamber, getting it up, getting underway. And what's happening this coming Thursday, the 30th?
Well, you may have heard this, all listeners to this program, Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli, but we have a labor shortage, as you know. And combined with that, Paul, of course, we've had the coronavirus, we've had stop starts, we've had, vaccination questions, we've had a whole bunch of issues swirling around business. So to everybody who's out there listening, take a deep breath, exhale, relax. We're starting to get back to a new normal, as we've been calling it. And our events are populating now, too. Whereas we did not have an in-person event last year, business showcase, we tried to do this virtually, went well. We're now doing it back live at the Best Western Plus Hotel. That's right off exit 12. I-91 in North Haven. And we have over 50 exhibitors coming up this Thursday. And, Paul, we have, by the way, this is our 30th annual business showcase, so it's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole bunch of presenters that will be there. It's a traditional business tabletop expo, so it's business to business, you know, a wide variety of types of businesses that get a chance to say hello and market and network and talk to each other and a very nice social event. But we also have opened this up this year with a little twist to incorporate a career fair with it. What we've been hearing from manufacturers, what we've been hearing from some of our service sector, what we've been hearing from restaurants, small retail, very challenging right now for a variety of reasons, perhaps, mm-hmm. to actually secure and find workers. And what has happened is a lot of our restaurants, retailers, service providers that have small business. We've heard from companies that clean windows, that do power washing, landscapers. Having quality, consistent capacity to have employees is critical for them to be able to provide service and to keep their healthy business. They're struggling with that right now. And what they've been yelling from the mountaintops and from all of our tall buildings here in Connecticut is jobs. We have them. We have jobs. And we need you to come and apply. We've got work for you. So now that we're seeing the end of the extended unemployment benefits, now that we're sort of transitioning to a different model, and now that we're getting out of, in a way, sort mm-hmm. of post-COVID practices, it's time to go back to work. And we have a lot of employers coming this coming Thursday, Paul. We open the doors at 8:30, and the event will end at 2. But we encourage anyone looking for a job, if you know someone who's looking for a job, if you want to just make those valuable connections with industry leaders, if you want to learn more about the businesses themselves and the industries that will be represented in North Haven on Thursday, definitely come to the event.
Ray Andrewson is Executive Director of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. Big career fair and business fair coming up this Thursday. Ray, hang on. We'll be right back to you. First, we check traffic and weather together at 3:36 on WICC. At 3:40, almost 3:41, that means another check of traffic and weather together, about 5 minutes away. Ray Andrewson is the guest for a few more minutes here. Ray is the executive director of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce, their 30th annual business showcase and career fair coming up this Thursday. Kicks off at 8:30, runs till 2 at the Best Western Hotel Plus on Washington Avenue in North Haven. You know, Ray, something that's been in the news, and I'm sure you've been following, I know as you do, this was about maybe 3 weeks ago. I was pulling into a fast food restaurant, oddly enough, in North Haven, down the street from where you're having the career fair coming up on Thursday. And I pulled around to the drive-thru, and there was this big sign out front, Ray, and it said, dining room closed due to a labor shortage, drive-through only. And that really drove it home to me. I said, wow. I mean, this is so bad job-wise, which I know you folks are trying to remedy with this job fair, that businesses are hurting. They need people. I mean, they need people like now.
They do. You know, and Paul, I think people need to understand, I think, when you actually go in, and what I love my new line of work here at the Quinnipiac Chamber and my time with our affiliate chamber, the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce, the regional chamber, is you really get to talk to business owners. And you find out, and this should be no surprise to anybody who owns a business, they really are very proud of what they do. And they really want to do the right thing, and they want to be good to their employees in most cases, and they really want to create that kind of teamwork and that kind of environment. And what they want also is to serve people, whether it be food, whether it be, you know, writing up insurance policies, whether it be, you know, manufacturing goods and services, mm-hmm. You know, and as a result of that, to build their business, they have to have a labor component. So the career fair is very important, but what I'd like everybody to do if they come on Thursday, and this is a free event, I mean, we're not charging anybody. You come in the door, you walk around, you get to talk to the manufacturers who actually, you know, make things that you would say, wow, how do you make that? How does that work? You get to talk to, you know, other companies in banking, financial industry, you know, real estate, you know, some of the things we're very familiar with, but it's a diversified business economy that we have here in Connecticut. We have a lot of different types of niche businesses. It's kind of fascinating. And you've interviewed business owners, you know, over your career, you know, and you find the more you interview them, the more interesting it gets.
Yeah.
And that's what's fascinating. And we also have workshops, too, because a lot of people have questions for some of the professionals. So we do have Joe Williams, who's going to be with us from the SBDC. He's going to break down, you know, the PPP forgiveness and some of the loan questions that some other businesses may have. Even if you're not an exhibitor and you have questions, Joe's going to be there with a presentation and we'll take your questions. We also did get Workforce Alliance to come here because that's what we're talking about. We need to develop a better, more qualified, skills-based workforce that really matches our employer needs and creates more jobs. And also the Record Journal, RJ Media, is going to be here because they've done a lot of interesting things with digital marketing for businesses. I mean, you got to get out there. You just got to put your toe in the water. You've got to accept that it's a new way to get ahead of, get, you know, we're carrier phones everywhere. So you got to get in front of people in new ways with digital media, and also the growing Latino population, too. And they've had a wonderful and interesting thing at RJ Media, the Latino Reporting Project. And they've gone into to represent a very large and growing population within Meriden, Wallingford, and the region, and reporting in these communities that, you know, historically have not been getting a lot of press.
Yeah.
And that actually is good for business because that's a market. I mean, think about it. Everyone's a market. You want to market to everybody. You want to get to reach everybody. You want to expand your business. You don't want to be in just, you know, one little,
well, yeah,
you know, zip code. You want to be with everyone.
The universal color is not white or black or brown. It's green.
Yes, that's right. That's true. You know, and you know, that growing up Norwegian, most time after I ate, usually we turn green. You know, it's you know, you're blessed actually, Paul, as I know you, buddy, that you know, some folks can cook and some can't, but it's green is the color, and I want to say that in the most cheerful way as I can. We really got to keep our economy here in Connecticut spinning. And that's what the chambers of commerce do. We advocate on behalf of your business. We advocate on behalf of our employees and employers on a constant basis. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And we'd really would like to make those connections.
And, Ray, I see here before we wrap it up, there's a speed networking component to this at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Now, you knowing me, nobody looks at me and thinks speed. Okay. But can you tell us what that's about? Because I see speed and I start to shake, you know, but what is that?
Well, you get your chance to get into a table, give a very quick, even less than elevator speech about your business, get your card together. If you've ever been to a speed networking event, it's basically focused high, quick-paced networking with other people from a variety of types of businesses. So it's different than going to a business after hours where it's a little more relaxed. You get a chance to have an extended conversation. This is getting to the point. And we do it for 45 minutes. It's actually a lot of fun. It's actually like playing a game. That's how much fun it is. So that's on the back. And we are going to feed you. We do have lunch. Lots of great local restaurants will be there at 12 noon. We'll be able to feed you. And, you know, I guess, is it the time for the, how do you get more information, Paul?
Yeah.
Did you get that segment thing? I was reading off.
You read my mind.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Great broadcast line, single life, right?
I see that internal clock is still operating. Yes.
It sure is. You do it for 33 years, you can't let it go. So, folks, for more information, I would really enjoy personally to say hello to all of you, you know, Paul's listeners. It's QuinCham, QUINNCHAM.com. QuinCham.com is our website. Our business number here is 203-269-9891. The Quinnipiac Chamber is all over social media, so we're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all over the place. And we really would love to hear from you and go to work for you. And our other chamber, too, who's our partner, we are an affiliate of the Greater New Haven Chamber of Commerce here in New Haven. We serve the region as well as just Wallingford and North Haven with the Quinnipiac Chamber. So please come. It's, again, in North Haven, Thursday, exit 12, I-91, Best Western Plus Hotel. It's our Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce Back to the Future Business Showcase and Career Fair. I'd love to see you.
All right, Ray Andrewson. Ray Andrewson, the Executive Director of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce and a great guy, a dear friend. Buddy, thank you. We appreciate it, and we'll chat down the road over a couple of adult milkshakes, okay?
You bet, and grateful for your time and for your listeners, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray. Appreciate it. Ray Andrewson, now the Executive Director of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce, and like you said, for 33 years, he did what I'm doing right now, sat behind a microphone, and was a complete and utter professional doing that as well. Good guy. Vote taken in the state Senate earlier today, this afternoon, 18-15 to give Governor Ned Lamont extended COVID powers until about the middle of February next year, which will be just short of 2 years of the designation of the beginning of the pandemic. One of the no votes today came from Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich, who's joining us. Ryan, hi. It's Paul again at WICC. How are you today?
I'm great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ryan. Any misgivings at all, or was this an easy slam dunk no vote on your behalf?
This was a clear no vote. I think 2 years of executive powers belies the notion of an emergency, because after 2 years, things become standard operating procedure. And standard operating procedure in this democracy should always be the Constitution. Policy and legislation should originate with the people's representatives in the state legislature, not in the executive branch. And so I believe that's super constitutional, and it undermines the checks and balances in our democracy. This was a pretty easy vote. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that it was a bipartisan vote against, both in the House, where there was 10 Democrats voting no, joining every Republican, and in the Senate, where there was multiple Democrats voting no, joining every Republican. So the large majorities that the Democrats have in both houses saved the day, but the vote was bipartisan in opposition.
Yeah, and I noticed, Ryan, a couple of Senate Democrats were not there today. So really, yeah, it was 18-15 with a couple of no-shows, and that was my first reaction when I saw the number posted. I went, this is kind of interesting.
Yes, I think it is very interesting. And over the past few years, so many of the major legislative and policy initiatives of the Connecticut Democrats have seen bipartisan opposition, whether it was their budget in 2019 that raised taxes by billions of dollars, or tolls, which ultimately failed, or the Paid Leave Act, which imposed a new payroll tax on Connecticut workers, and now a two-year extension of emergency executive powers. The opposition is consistently bipartisan, which shows, I think, that the policy in this state has gone too far in one direction. Whether it's making our neighborhood safe or creating jobs or restoring the constitutional balances of government, we need common sense, pragmatic, bipartisan solutions, not one-size-fits-all left-wing solutions.
Ryan, hang on. I'll be right back with you. Republican State Senate member Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. When we come back, I want to ask Ryan the political aspect of this. Was this perhaps just a move by legislative Democrats to wash their hands of this, maybe worried going into an election year? First, though, traffic and weather together. 4:36 on Connecticut Today. Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio on the phone with us for a few minutes. The state Senate voting 18-15 today to extend until mid-February of next year of 2022. The governor's executive emergency authority. Ryan was one of the 15 Republicans who voted no. Actually, there were a couple of Democrats, 13 Republicans, a couple of Democrats. Ryan, this vote today and the one yesterday, how much of this do you believe? Yeah, everything is all political up there with what you guys and gals do. It's the nature of politics. But, Ryan, is this just a way, perhaps, of the majority party to say, hey, let's keep our fingerprints off of some tough things that the governor may have to do, Ryan, when it concerns, you know, the teachers' unions, the state employees' unions? Is this just kind of a hand-washing here or not? Am I reading this wrong? What do you think?
Maybe. I don't want to I don't want to impose motives on people who disagree with me necessarily, but it certainly is a unilateral surrender of constitutional powers that have been vested in legislators. I think that most legislators run for office because they want to have input on the policy outcomes of the state, even though a lot of those decisions up for debate are difficult decisions, especially in the realm of public health, that is the case. But it's nonetheless our responsibility constitutionally. The trust that we were given by the people means that we have to make the difficult decisions of setting policy and creating legislation and helping to govern the state. So ultimately, it's a very strange situation where the founders of our country imagined the actors within every branch of government jealously guarding their rights within the constitutional structure. But in the present day and age, so often we see legislators, whether at the state or the federal level, openly surrendering their rights to make policy and create law to bureaucrats and to the executive branch. I don't think that's right. I think that alienates voters, as I said, on the Senate floor. I think it creates more distrust in our society and makes average people feel more and more separated from the democratic process. I think that tears people apart. I don't think it brings people together.
I noticed, Ryan, there was a graphic I saw on a local TV newscast that I believe Connecticut and maybe Rhode Island. Are we the only states, Ryan, in the region that are continuing a state of emergency here? Because from what I saw, we may be it.
That's a good point. I don't think I had a chance to mention it in my floor speech, but I think we're one of only two or three states in the entirety of the Northeast, going down to the Mid-Atlantic up through Maine, that have extended our executive powers through the present day. And ours is now all the way extended to almost 2 years after the beginning of the pandemic. Again, within a few months, that's reasonable, and I think constitutional, certainly within the spirit of the Constitution. But extending it out 2 years is both unusual for states in our region, highly unusual, but also I think defensive to the concept of checks and balances in our state, the Constitution state, no less.
Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio. Greenwich, Ryan, thanks. We appreciate it. We'll talk down the road, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, there you go. Ryan Fazio there. All right, so we'll see what happens. So this will next come up in February. Let's see, middle of September, October, November, December, January, February. Okay, 5 months, right? Am I doing that right? September, October, November, December, January, February. Yes, 5 months. All right, well, so we'll see what happens. And I guess the governor said earlier today, well, it might not be over then either. Okay. So we'll see what shakes out there. Ryan Fazio, recently elected Republican State Senate member from Greenwich. He was one of the 13 Republicans to vote no today. Two Democrats voted no for the 15 no votes. There were 18 yes votes. And two rather prominent Democrats weren't there. I don't know why they weren't there. They may have had a very valid and heartfelt reason for not being there. Saud Anwar of Windsor, South Windsor, and Marilyn Moore from her district, of course, encompassing Trumbull and Bridgeport.